So here we are, well into the second week of the Middlesbrough Literary Festival 2010, and of course one of the highlights of the festival, because he proved to be one of the highlights of our Book of the Month show on Southside Broadcasting, with this fantastic Dancing for the Hangman opus, really focusing on obviously Crippen amongst others, is of course the fabulous, wonderful, talented author Martin Edwards. Good to touch base with you, Martin.
Likewise, great to meet you.
Well, exactly. It's always nice when, after having done phone links and telephonic things, you actually get a face-to-face piece. It's strangely unique in these multi-media you were, but good nevertheless.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, now here we are, so on the East Coast, from your good self, obviously travelling across the country, Acklam Library. You're going to be talking this afternoon about, obviously, Dancing for the Hangman. Share with us, little tease ahead, what sort of things can we expect?
Well, this will be an event that starts off with a reading from the novel Dancing for the Hangman, but of course it's a novel based on the true story of Dr. Crippen, and it's a novel that respects the facts of that true story but tries imaginatively to fill in the various gaps and to solve some of the mysteries that have perplexed criminologists for the past 100 years, because it is exactly one century since Crippen was hanged. And the idea of today is to take people through the story of Crippen life and to raise some of the interesting things that you don't always read about the case.
Fascinating in many ways, this centenary celebrations, because I know one of our other good friends, Tim Moulton, will be talking about the upcoming centenary of the sinking of the Titanic. It's strange how we look back at some of the early parts of the 20th century and they still seem to have a fascination for us here in the 21st century.
Well, that's right. And of course, the Edwardian era in the lead up to the First World War was a fascinating era in many ways. I think a lot of people find it very interesting even in the 21st century.
Obviously, the whole range of other sort of aspects and creations that you've developed within the whole sort of authorial routine, and the Lake District obviously features prominently amongst them. So, a quick plug for some of the latest adventures of your characters there.
Yes, thanks very much. Dancing for the Hangman is a one-off. It's a single book, but my main series is the one set in the Lake District, and the fourth and most recent title is The Serpent Pool, which came out a few weeks ago, and pleased to say has been very well reviewed.
Well, not surprising. In fact, I think we'll obviously sort of start making plans to make that another Southside Book of the Month. I think it's the only way we should go, really.
Terrific. Very grateful for that.
Now, moving on. Later on today, you're doing double duty in so many ways, and hopefully three colleagues and myself will enable to give some positive energy to a fascinating murder mystery evening that you've actually coordinated. Now, I've taken part with Top Draw Productions and a variety of other things in murder mysteries, which have involved table hopping, which have involved whole variety of interactivity. It's quite a fascinating thing here, because we seem to have a series of four soliloquies, semi-monologues, etc., and then obviously the magic develops from there. So just share with us, obviously without giving the denouement away, what sort of things are developed within that?
Yes, well, this is a mystery called Who Killed George Hargrave, and there are four main characters, as you say. Of course, you're one of them, and the challenge for the audience is to work out not only who killed George, but why, and exactly how was it done? That's the challenge, to find the best amateur detective in Middlesbrough.
Extraordinary. And I noticed, obviously, you have, in fact, made almost a bespoke mention of the town of Middlesbrough in the audience, which is quite fascinating. I'm not sure, actually, whether I'm Richard or Arthur. That might just be my own sort of identity crisis. I think I can guarantee I'm not the fiancé, though.
Yeah, so I'm hopeful that you'll enjoy it, and I'm certainly pretty confident the audience will as well.
And certainly the location, because we move from Acklam Library, which is one of our modern libraries, we move right to the heart of town. In fact, we go indoors. Last week, of course, we had the launch event, and we had the musical festivities outside the Central Library. We're in the Reference Library, which itself is an Edwardian library section.
Yes, well, I'm certainly looking forward to visiting it.
Going to be extraordinary. Now, looking towards the other sort of aspects, we mentioned professionally, you are almost unique insofar as you combine a day job, which probably can provide some input, some lines for actually developing some input into your crime scenarios as well, because you are a trained legal person as well.
Yes, I am. I'm a partner in a law firm, and I've worked there for the last 30 years in Liverpool and Manchester. And my first series did in fact feature a Liverpool lawyer called Harry Devlin, although I'm always very keen to point out his life is very different from mine.
Indeed. Just wanted to actually work through that whole thing. So this is the second Middlesbrough Literary Festival. We're also involved with the Lincoln Book Festival. That moves into its eighth year next year. As we've said, we're pleased on the East Coast that we're getting some more sort of general festivals per se from that point of view. What are your own views on book festivals as an event in themselves?
Well, As an author, I really enjoy them, but I also think that from the point of view of the reader, the members of the audience, it's a great opportunity to encounter books, writers you might not have come across before, and to expand your reading and find plenty of things to enjoy that you might not have encountered had it not been for the festival.
Very true. And I have to say, yes, I know there are other things taking place this weekend, but I like to think of this particular weekend in June, last weekend in June 2010, as being a quartet of joys. We've got the World Cup, we've got Wimbledon, we've got Glastonbury, but the most important thing is, yes, Martin Edwards is in Middlesbrough.
You can't say fairer than that, Alex.
Martin, fantastic for the moment. We're hopeful we'll catch up with you again after the talk this afternoon, and obviously after the Edwardian joy this evening.
Terrific, look forward to it.
Okay, well, we've just set in on Martin Edwards' talk here at the Middlesbrough Literary Festival about, of course, Dancing for the Hangman. And one of our new co-presenters is with us, Aaron Craig. Aaron, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was really, really interesting to learn a bit more about Dr. Crippen. I think one of the myths that people believe that Crippen was a sort of mass murderer, so to speak, and it was intriguing to know that he only potentially maybe killed one person, and how he got that notoriety, because at the time, 1910, obviously, there wasn't people like him, and it chased him halfway around the world to fetch him. So it was really, really interesting, and it was a cracking afternoon, really.
Excellent stuff. We'll be speaking to Martin again in a few moments. Of course, a reminder, you can always download the book of the month, Dancing for the Hangman, from one of our archive Southside Broadcasting sites. We'll also have a few words with Jill, but let's see if we can actually capture Jill now. Jill, I'm just plugging our book of the month, which featured, of course, Dancing for the Hangman a wee while ago.
Yes.
How did you feel this afternoon went?
Oh, I think it was really, really interesting. It's a fascinating case. I'd heard of the name. I didn't really know much about it until we read the book. And yeah, it's really, I'm going to get the other book that Martin Edwards talked about Inspector Dew. So I'm going to look into it even more now.
Well, this is astounding. I mean, as I say, I thought the initial thing from our Book of the Month routine was all about the transvestitism that was involved with the case. But not to worry, I think we also were talking with Martin about maybe having another one of his books as a Book of the Month. What do you think about that?
Yes, maybe The Serpent Pool. That might be a good one to try next.
That's exactly what he suggested, so that's great. Well, we'll hopefully grab a few words with Martin at the end of this piece. Aaron, of course, we're off to Murder Mystery Evening, which I'm taking on board one of the characters there. Are you looking forward to that, which is also going to be hosted by Martin?
Yeah, definitely. It should be interesting. It should be a good night, so I can't wait to see you dressed up.
I don't think I'm dressing up, actually. I think I've got a change of shirt and a few other things around. I'm not sure whether I'm going the whole hog as Victor, an Edwardian gentleman. But we'll find out, because obviously it's Martin Edwards Day here at the Second Middlesbrough Literary Festival. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting on location in association with Atherin Co. Solicitors, which I think is strangely wonderful in the notion that Martin, of course, is a partner in a legal firm as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, he must obviously have that hindsight and foresight of what
and insight, hindsight, foresight, insight.
All them kind of sights of what he's writing about, so it's really interesting.
And possibly the second sight of actually accessing what the whole thing's going to be in the first place. Okay, well, I have to say a full 10 out of 10 for Martin's performance. We're actually at part two in what is officially now designated Martin Edwards Day. As we said, forget Glastonbury, forget the World Cup scenario in Wimbledon. It's Martin Edwards Day at the Middlesbrough Literary Festival. And Martin, your thoughts on how the event went today?
Well, I was delighted by the range of questions that we had about the Crippen case, and one of the things that was really fascinating was the fact that so many people knew something about Crippen and were able to contribute. So that the interactive part of it was great.
It was quite intriguing. I must admit, I did appreciate your line about the musical stars of the day, the Cheryl Cole of the day, actually sort of sitting on the trial. Lots of changes in 100 years.
That's right, and the fascinating thing is that certain things don't change, but some things change massively, in particular the way that trials are conducted, and that was an incredible trial. It couldn't be conducted in anything like the same way nowadays.
Well, certainly given the media approach, you would have had a distinct argument for stating that actually there's no way a fair trial could be provided with that kind of jury influence.
Well, that's absolutely right, because everybody assumed that Crippen was guilty, and the jury was out for just 27 minutes before finding him guilty.
As you rightly said, less than an episode of EastEnders, astounding. I mean, moving on from that, I suppose maybe what the Rose and Fred West murders, would that be something which maybe towards the end of the 21st century people will still be looking back on, or is that literally just the sheer horror of that is possibly the reason for its notoriety?
Well, certainly that case, and of course the Saddleworth murders, Brady and Hindley, which is probably of that kind of case still the one that's most horrific and therefore most remembered. But Crippen, of course, a single crime or alleged crime, and yet certainly not a serial killing, and yet there's something about that case that makes it incredibly memorable.
Certainly. Okay, Aaron, great. We've already spoken to you today. But Aaron, I know that there's an awful lot of material that's connected with, obviously, the chef's world and murders and all sorts of things. And certainly your Heston Blumenthal background perhaps brings that to the fore. But ever considered a kind of murder surprise?
No, definitely not. I find it very interesting. And, you know, one of the things, as I said, that it's people think that Dr. Crippen murdered loads of people, but he only potentially murdered one, and I find that like fascinating. It's one of the myths that people believe in Dr. Crippen. The other thing I was going to ask you was about, you know, really, if he did murder, it was a crime of passion. Is that something you think it was like near enough like a crime of passion?
Well, that's a commonly held view, but it's not necessarily the view that I've put forward in the novel. The question of the precise motivation, though, is one of the most interesting things about the case, because all the prosecution witnesses, let alone the defence witnesses, testified that it was a very happy marriage between the Crippens.
Yeah, so it's something like 100 years we're still asking questions for, and it's just, I think these are questions that are never, ever, ever going to be answered, isn't it? And maybe in 100 years' time, we'll still be sitting here asking about questions. Obviously, we won't be sat here, but...
I don't know. I fully intend to be here. I mean, that's what medical science improvements are all about.
We are living longer. But so in 100 years' time, people will probably still be asking these questions, won't they?
Yes, I think so. The Crippen case is really one of the classic crime cases, and even after a century, there's no sign of interest in it reducing.
Just returning to what we spoke about before your session today, Martin, that as Tim Moulton said, one of the reasons we have a fascination with the Titanic was it was the moment where there was a distinctive shift in terms of empire, the sort of age of certainty shifted on that tragic evening. In the same way as with mass media, perhaps the Crippen trial was one of those first examples, really, of the mass media getting involved, and obviously the Telegraph, without which the whole thing possibly wouldn't have evolved as it had evolved.
Oh, absolutely. It was a huge historic landmark. There was the Marconi Telegraph being used to detect crime for the first time, as you've mentioned. There was the forensic evidence. The importance of forensic evidence had never been as great as it was in the Crippen case. And the newspaper and media focus on the case internationally was something that hadn't really happened before.
Well, here we are, as a halfway stage. We now head off to Edwardian times once again, to the Central Library. Hopefully I'll do justice to at least a quarter of your roles in that, Martin. Any particular surprises you've got in mind, or is it just a case of, well, just wait and see?
Well, I'm hoping the solution will be a surprise. That's the main thing.
And Aaron, you'll just be sitting back and hopefully sort of being part of the audience then.
Hopefully enjoying it, so I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Finally, Martin, a plug for your web address. People can access all manner of wonderful details, including your previous texts and so on www.martinedwardsbooks.com.